moves the actual flow, from which the voice says it's time to stay where you are and it's time to move. Very often we may have a spiritual motivation, or we think it's a spiritual motivation for acting, right? People usually go one way or the other. They either tend toward trying to help too much. Let me help. And it's from a preconception of what it means to be nice or be compassionate, and it's not in tune. It's not in step. It's not open enough to the flow of reality, or flow of God's will, or flow of life. And that, or people are the opposite. They're just going to hang back. Things need to be done. The invitation is there, but I'm just hanging back. People tend to like fall on one side of that razor's edge of the other, or the other. So why do we fall on one side or the other? Because we have a preconception of what I want to do, of what I think. And that's a pattern. And if we, again, can see that that's there, then we can make a different choice. A choice to use that same mental apparatus that normally expects, right, that projects expectation, and turn it upon itself. Instead of doing that normal game of expecting, we can choose to see the future as a vast unknown. The very next moment, from this moment, not tomorrow, not in a few hours, the very next moment, we can choose to see it as a vast unknown, so that our whole structure of expectation can just relax and be open to what wants to happen. Maybe in the next moment, Mashiach is coming and there was world peace. Maybe in the next moment, this meteor is going to hit and we're all gone, the whole species. Those are the extremes, right? But whatever it is, whatever the next moment is, our mind has no control over it. We project our expectations for convenience in order to function, but it shouldn't block our sense of the way God wants it to be, the way reality wants to unfold. I think that this was symbolized in last week's parsha by the movement of the Israelites on their journeys. Yeah, exactly. The parsha, last week's parsha Behalotcha, narrates the first time the Israelites began to move as a kingdom of priests, you know, as a post-Sinai nation. You know, they've been through Sinai, they've been through the revelation, and now they're going to start moving toward the promised land, which is only a 3-day journey. It ends up being 40 years. And it really actually, it's 40 years on one hand, but on the other hand, it's really never, because the Torah is a cycle and it never gets to that. So if we see the promised land as a symbol for the manifestation of blessing in our species, you know, in the world, where the curses that we presently live with as a species will be healed and lifted. If we kind of have that as our direction, then we know we haven't gotten there yet. But if we're going to get there, we have to be completely in tune with the way God wants to use us to get there. We can't impose our own sense of what it should be like. Politics, it's all about imposing your idea or the big group's idea about how it should be. And those other guys are the bad guys because they have the idea that's wrong. So it's all about, politics seems to so much be about, you know, except for the rare, you know, the rare examples. And religion too, for the most part. Religion seems to be about, we believe in this. But Moses never said, believe in this. Moses came to the Israelites and said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And they said, we don't believe you. How can you do that? Did he say, I want you to believe me? No. He said, I'll show you. Or he didn't even say that. He said, okay, hold on. Let me go talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll show you. And then sign after sign after sign, and it happens. It happens. It's time for it to happen. But even then, in the middle of it's happening, there's all this not believing, all this complaining. So what is that? Is that about not believing? No, it's the opposite. It's about believing. The mistake of the Israelites is believing that it's not possible. And the opposite.